Today, I'm going to continue part two of what I talked about last week. Last week, I talked about the promise of being filled, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many of you were here for that? Okay. And so I'm just going to pick up where I left off today. Basically, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, it's a promise from God. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and it was then John the Baptist came preparing the way for the Messiah, who's Jesus. And he says, I'm baptizing you in water for repentance, but I'm just getting you ready for the one who will come. And through faith in him, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Every single one of his followers are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can prophesy, you'll dream dreams, you'll have visions, is what Joel said that Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2. And it's a promise for all of us to be. And here's the reality. Jesus requires every one of us to live a life that's impossible without his supernatural assistance. Absolutely impossible. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be humble, and we need to say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Not just once, every single day. I need you today. Yesterday was good. You know, there's a song when I first got saved we used to sing, fall on me. Fall on me, Holy Ghost power, fall on me. Here's my favorite line. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, fall on me. That is, it's every day. And I remember when I first got saved, sometimes, you know, I was part of a portion of the body of Christ that I love. And a lot of times, though, when I would hear them refer to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it was like they would refer to it as it's like a one-time experience, and that was the end of it. And so it would almost be like, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they'd be like, yes. And a lot of times, it would be what they meant was, one time about 30 years ago, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in tongues. So yes, they can check that box off. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when you actually read the New Testament, the emphasis is not, have you had an experience one time with the Holy Spirit? The emphasis is on living full, immersed in the Holy Spirit every single day. And as we abide in him, he abides in us, and we bear much fruit for the Father's glory. So receiving the Holy Spirit, it's not an end in and of itself. It's not this one-time thing. It's the beginning of a new way of life where we learn to live in the Spirit's power and walk in the Holy Spirit's ways. And this new lifestyle of living in the Spirit, it produces really good fruit in us and through us. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk to you about living in the Holy Spirit. The Bible has a lot to say about this. And so do I, so I'm excited to talk to you about it. Practical advice for, I'm calling it practicing the presence of God. So you guys ready? How many of you want to live in the Spirit all the time, every day? Yeah? Me too. Well, here's some tips on how to do it. I've been practicing this for about 20 years, so I'm going to give you a few things that I've learned. Number one, if you want to practice the presence of God as a lifestyle, living in the Spirit, develop the habit of singing to God and testifying about God to others. Develop the habit of singing. Everybody go, la, la, la. There you go. Develop the habit of singing to God and testifying about God to others. Ephesians 5:28 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that's a command. And that be filled with the Spirit doesn't mean have an encounter one time and speak in tongues once. And it's be filled with the Spirit. It's like keep on being filled continuously with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. It's our responsibility to stay full of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I could think sometimes, I can't make myself be filled with the Holy Spirit. Only God can fill me with the Holy Spirit, right? Yes, Jeff. Unless you don't agree, you don't have to say yes. So like, how do I, it's a command to be filled with the Spirit, but here's the way it works. God is faithful to do his part and fill us. If we'll be faithful to do our part, to turn our attention toward him and walk in the Spirit's ways, okay? We do our part. We look to him and regularly just turn our thoughts to him and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I love you. Thank you for living in me. We stay connected to him. We do our part and he'll do his part. He's so faithful at this. He says, do not get drunk on wine. And I think of this, that's literal. It's a sin. It's a command to get drunk on wine. So don't get drunk on wine, right? That's a command. Amen? So is the second half. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. Okay? Now, do not get drunk on wine part. I think of that as more than just wine, though. It's certainly wine. But it's just, I think of that on any carnal living. When I think of a person who's getting drunk on wine, it's like their carnal appetite is craving alcohol. And even though they've had plenty, they just keep going because their flesh just craves it and craves it. And they're just feeding their flesh and they're just catering to the appetites and the impulses, the cravings of their carnal nature. And that's their lifestyle. They cater to the flesh. And because of that, they're living, they may have spoken tongues once 20 years ago, but their lifestyle today is just as carnal as the average person out there. Because the average person in the world, they live a life that's dominated by serving the impulses of our carnal nature. And God's like, whoa, you're a different person. You have the Holy Spirit in you now. Now you have to learn the new way of living. We all used to live catering to the appetites and the impulses of our flesh, but now you're going to walk in the Spirit. How do I do that? I set my mind on what the Spirit desires. And I cater to the desires, the cravings, the impulses, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I tune in to him. That's how you walk in the Spirit. And then he says, speak to one another. And he tells us right in here just some tips, practical tips for how to just keep yourself in a flow of the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Have you ever talked to another believer like that? It is well with my soul. You should do that. It's encouraging. Come on. We need to do this. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all see how great is our God. Yeah, this is good stuff. Sing to each other, like speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I think that's cool. If you come up to me and do that, I'll think you're cool. And I love this. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. How many of you have a tune that's in your heart from the Holy Spirit at random times throughout the day? Yeah, that is evidence of being full of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that I've discovered the Holy Spirit will speak to me through the song that he puts in my heart? So today I'm preaching on practicing the presence of God, living full of the Holy Spirit, right? And so this morning, as I come to church, within like about 3 minutes probably of walking in the front door of the building, this random song just pops into my spirit and I feel his presence on it. It's an old Crystal Lewis song. How many of you remember Crystal Lewis? Okay, this is old school. This is back in 90s, you know? Crystal Lewis, and it's this song that's life everlasting, strength for today, taste the living water and never thirst again. That's all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that chorus I have not heard that song in probably over a decade at least. I can't remember when I've heard that song. So why is it? I haven't heard that song recently. I'm not thinking about that song. All of a sudden it pops into my heart. Why? That's what the Spirit's doing. And I knew, I'm like, oh, he's speaking to me. He's getting my heart in the flow of what I'm going to be talking about today. You know, he'll actually, if you'll pay attention to the songs he puts in your heart, Holy Spirit is a musical spirit. He's a musical spirit. And I know at random times, I love it. I love it when he does this. I like it when I wake up and there's already a tune in my heart. That just helps me. I'm like, when I wake up and there's already a song in my heart, he just ushers me straight. I wake up in a flow of the Spirit. And when there's a holy tune going on in my heart, I try to give voice to it. I try to set my mind on it, actually, and commune with what the Spirit's doing. And I'll begin to hum, or I'll make up words to the tune that he's putting in my heart. Yeah? Sing a new song to the Lord. He actually says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. You can actually make up spontaneous songs. This is important. I love doing this. I did that this morning. You guys, I don't remember what song we were singing. One of the songs we were singing this morning, but my mind was on a different track with the Spirit. I just sang my own words to the tune that you guys were singing. And I was communing with the Lord. It was wonderful. You know, I'll give you this tip. It doesn't have to rhyme. And it doesn't have to sound pretty when you're making your own song to the Lord. Don't get messed up on that. It's cool. Sometimes you'll sing yourself into a rhyme. And you're like, oh, that was good. That was cool. But most of the time, I'm on my own, and I'm just singing to the Lord, and it doesn't sound pretty. It takes me a couple times around to figure out the tune that I want to say. But I'll just, what am I feeling? And I'm feeling, I love you. I'll just be like, God, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I'll just say it over and over, and then a new phrase will come into my mind, and then I'll put that to the tune. And you can actually, you just get caught up in a conversation with the Spirit by flowing with the tune that he puts in your heart. Is this practical? Okay, I'm serious. This works. I have learned this for 20 years now. I have learned how to sing in the Spirit and keep a tune in my heart before the Lord. It's a major key to me staying in the flow of the Spirit. And I'll say this too. Before that, when it says speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I will say, not only is what I say it's psalms, I think of that, because right after that it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think the conversation of believers should be dominated by thanksgiving and testimonies. You want to cultivate an atmosphere of the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in your conversations and relationships with people. Talk about the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord to one another. It's not bragging. It's boasting in the Lord is what it's doing. Just, you know what the Lord did this week? It doesn't have to be huge. You don't have to raise the dead that week. But it could be like, oh, God, you know, Abby came to me about a week ago. She was so excited. She's like, Daddy, I had the awesome prayer time this morning. I was like, praise God. And she told me all about it. And I felt joy. I was actually worshiping when she told me that. And you know what I did? I turned right around. I'm like, God, thank you. I turned it into my worship. Thank you, Lord. I pray for my daughter to have these encounters with you. Thank you for touching her in her time with you this morning. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, always giving thanks. This is a key to staying in the spirit instead of in the flesh. I guarantee you, if you complain, you'll be in the flesh 100% of the time, every time. Even if you be in the Spirit, you start complaining, and what you do is you take the exit off Holy Spirit interstate, okay? And what you do is you take the exit, and you make a wrong turn onto Carnal Nature Boulevard. It's a very bad road to be on. It's a horrible road. It's not very fun. And it's like, oh, I made a mistake. I got caught up in a conversation where we were griping about our boss. I was griping about my brother. I was griping about my sister. I was complaining about my parents. I was complaining about my spouse. I was complaining about my children. I was speaking against my neighbor. I was whining against the president. I was complaining, complaining, complaining. That will always get you, and you'll be in the flesh every single time. And no good fruit comes from walking in the flesh. Impossible. I'm going to, if I have time, read it to you. In Romans 8, you can find it for yourself. Romans 8 actually says this, that when we make choices and we're in the flow of the flesh, the carnal nature, it is impossible to produce any kind of good fruit. In fact, the only option when you're in that flow of the flesh is death every time. There is zero life in it. You can't do it. So how do I not complain? You lean into the opposite, which is thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. You know, if your spouse is bugging you, or any pick anybody, and they're doing something that's annoying you, stop thinking about that and begin to thank the Father for the good things you enjoy about them. And it'll lift you right off of Carnal Boulevard and right back onto Flow of the Spirit Interstate, where the speed limit's 777 miles per hour. I'm kidding. I remember when I first got saved, I learned these principles through experience before I even saw them in the Word, to be honest. When I first got saved, I told you last week, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, man, I remember how exciting it was to discover that I could feel His presence. It didn't just work in church. It actually worked anywhere. Anywhere. Like, I can feel Him like this anywhere. I remember I'd be driving in my car. I so remember this. I'm driving in my car, and I'm actually listening to a very bad song, because it took a few months for the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the stuff I was listening to. And I was actually a demonic song with evil antichrist lyrics, to be honest. But it didn't cross my mind. And I'd be listening to that song, jamming down the road. And all of a sudden, I'd have this thought. I'm like, I feel like feeling the Holy Spirit. So I'd stop the radio. And I only knew a few songs from church. I'm a brand new believer. And I'd sing the few songs I knew in my car driving on the road. And as soon as I started singing to the Lord worship songs, I'd feel His presence. I remember being like, wow, this is awesome. There's a connection here. I engage my heart in worship. He responds by manifesting His power in my midst. And I'm like, wow, I've done this. For 20 years now, I love doing this. I remember my second favorite job I ever had was being a custodian. I love that job. I'd be happy to take that job today if I wasn't doing what I'm doing. It was an awesome job. It was part-time while I was a college student. I worked 4 hours Monday through Friday every afternoon, 1 to 5. And it was an easy job. It was a mindless job. I cleaned the floors. I would burnish the floors with the machine and mop them and sweep them. And so it wasn't much thinking involved, very little brain power required. And so I could just go on autopilot and do my job, and I would just get lost in the Lord. I remember I would just sing in the Spirit. And I got my machine going, and I'd just sing in tongues, and I'd sing worship songs. And often I would have 3 to 4 hour conversations with the Holy Spirit just while I was working. I'd be so lifted up by the time I got off work. I'd be like, "Woo, man, this is so good." And I remember when it was in that season of my life where it became a very conscious choice. I'm like, I want to practice living in the manifest presence of God. Now, I don't do that every second of every day. I want to. That's my goal. But I'm learning how. The Holy Spirit's teaching me how to pay attention to Him and walk in the ways of the Spirit and stay in that flow. Versus getting in the flesh. And I learned, I remember that 4 hour shift, just singing and making music in my heart to the Lord. Another thing I learned during that season of my life in college was the power of our fellowship. Want me to tell you a struggle for me? I'll tell you. The more intensely I get focused on living in tune with the Holy Spirit, the more difficult it is for me sometimes to fellowship with other people. You want to know why? Because I find most people they're not in the Spirit. And I feel like getting into a conversation, it's hard to have a spiritual conversation with a lot of people. They're just so focused on the things of the flesh. It's just they start complaining or they start gossiping and they start slandering. And I'm just like, I love you. I really love you. But I want to stay in a flow with the Holy Spirit. And I remember one time, me and my friend, we were having a conversation at Bible college. We were in the hallway. It was on my work shift. And we were so excited about what the Holy Spirit was doing in our lives. And he was like, man, he was telling me about some cool thing God did and was touching a bunch of people. And I'm like, wow. And as we're testifying about what God's doing back and forth, the Spirit came on us like in power. And we're standing in the hallway of our school, and all of a sudden we're just like, whoa, the Spirit hits us. And we're, I mean, our bodies are actually physically jerking around and everything. It was really strong presence of the Lord. And somehow, us immature people, we're in our conversation, talk about the Lord, the Spirit's increasing in power. It's like he's saying, oh, you're going to talk about the works of Jesus? I'm in on this conversation. He's like saying, amen, bringing to mind more things to talk about that the Lord is doing. He loves that stuff. But then somehow we slip from testifying about what God's doing to talking against the people who are opposing it. We said, man, these professors over here, they're so carnal. They don't even recognize this is a move of God. What's their problem? They just need to humble themselves. It's spiritual pride. They're just like the Pharisees. You know, all that, da, 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 da. And we get into this conversation. I remember a little ways into that conversation, I was like, where'd the Holy Spirit go? Like, he was so distinctly here. I was aware of him. He was increasing. And all of a sudden, he left. I remember the Spirit spoke to me out of Ephesians chapter, I think it's chapter 4. He says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And then know what the next verse is? Do not grieve the Spirit of God. And I realized, you know what we did? We slipped from edifying conversation that the Spirit's like, I'm in on this one, to carnal conversation, unwholesome speech. And the Spirit was like, he got grieved. He's like, I love you guys. When you're talking about the good stuff, I was with you. But if you're going to go there, I'll just wait till you're done. I'm going to stay over here because he's holy. He's a holy Spirit. And he won't participate in sin with us. All right. So develop the habit of singing to God and testifying about God to others. Let's go on to number 2. Learn to cater to the desires of the Holy Spirit rather than the appetites of the flesh. These are so important, what I'm talking about today. I'll be honest with you. What I'm talking about today is everything in the Christian life. If you will learn how to walk in the Spirit, you're going to be good. We talk about eternity, and we have works that are of the flesh. They're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll be burned up. That which was of the Spirit that we did, it will be fruit that remains, and we'll receive rewards for it forever and ever. So you talk about, when you're talking about eternity, the judgment seat of Christ, thriving, how do I ensure, what can I do today to ensure that I thrive at the judgment seat and receive reward instead of suffer loss? How? Choose today, in this moment, choose the way of the Spirit and deny the flesh. It's that simple. If we will walk in the way of the Spirit, you will fulfill every detail of what God has for you to accomplish. And you'll bear much fruit. So let's go to Galatians. Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit. That's a command again. And here's the truth. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Do you know you cannot do both at the same time? You can't drive on Carnal Nature Boulevard and the Holy Spirit Interstate at the same time. You cannot sin against God by complaining when you're giving thanks to God. Can't do it. You can't hate somebody when you're blessing your enemy and praying for those who persecute you. It's like, how do I overcome sin? A lot of times the way we try to overcome sin, it's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. And there is a place for that. I recommend that. But you know, what we need to be doing is not just looking at our sin and saying, no, no, you look really good, but no, no. Oh, it's so appealing. That apple looks off. No, I'm not going to do it. No. I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry, God. I'm done with apples. I'm not going to do it. Oh, I'm not going to, no, 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 I'm so sorry. This is the lifestyle of so many people. And I can appreciate that. I know this well. I've done this many times. But you know what really helps us to not be consumed and a slave to the carnal appetites is to set our eyes on Jesus and drink of the living water of God, and he satisfies. And when we look at his beauty and we're living and drinking and deeply of the Holy Spirit and meditating on the scriptures and on the promise of eternity and eternal rewards and God's goodness to us and all the wonderful things about our relationship with him, when we're in the way of the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the carnal nature. And then he says, verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. I love this verse. They are in conflict or at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want. They are at war with each other. Guess what? The Holy Spirit who lives in you is jealous for your heart and for your attention. And your carnal nature, your craving to serve the flesh, catering to its appetites. You know, when I think of that word, catering to my appetites, my flesh, I just think of a waiter, you know, and he's got the tray. And he's going to the customer. The customer's in charge, right? Customer's always right. What do you want? What do you want? I'm catering to you. I'm here to serve you. And we live, it is natural. We learned from the time we're young to live that way, serving the flesh as our master. And you get born again, the Holy Spirit's living in you, and it's still all we've ever known is when the flesh says jump, we stop everything we're doing and we say, how high? Right? And we have to train ourselves to live in the new way of the Spirit. When the flesh says jump, we look at it and we say, you are not my master. Holy Spirit, what do you say? And we have to retrain ourselves to deny the impulses of the flesh and to pay attention, tune into, cater to the desires of the Spirit. We don't become experts at this in a day or even a year, but we devote ourselves to walking in this way of the Spirit as a lifestyle. And what happens is over the months and over the years, as we continue in it, we actually get stronger in it and stronger. And the pull of the carnal appetites actually, it diminishes. It really does. There are temptations that used to be massive temptations for me 15 years ago that they're not even tempting now. I mean, they're not hard at all. I hardly ever have to struggle with them anymore. It's much easier now to live in the Spirit and to flow with the Spirit in different ways than it was when I was first learning how to do this 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Does that make sense? We commit ourselves to this as a lifestyle. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. So he's talking about these are cravings that your flesh, your sinful nature will have. Sexual immorality or lust, impurity and debauchery. Debauchery, it's like just this wild letting go and going with the flesh. It's just like perverse sin. Debauchery, picture gay pride parades, drunken parties. That's debauchery, okay? It's just drunken guys at a strip bar. It's debauchery. It's just letting go and indulging in the flesh. And it gets real gross and real yucky really fast if you let yourself go there. He says, you know, don't do that. And then he says, verse 20, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. These are things you don't give in to these things. This is the flesh. When you give in to those, that jealousy, fits of rage, you know what that is? Temper tantrums. That was a big one for me. That was a big one for me. And I'd feel that stirring, that rage begin to boil up. Different things would happen. I feel that rage begin to boil. And I know there's this moment of decision I learned. I'm going to resist this. Holy Spirit, help me. And I can get victory over it. There's that moment of decision. Or if I yield to it and I say the thing that's popping up in my heart, it's like uncorking a fountain. And then, watch out, the Incredible Hulk. It's like, get out of his way, you know. And I'm like, whoa, and don't go there. And I've had to learn, because that's my habit since I was a kid. I was super competitive as a kid. I don't know many kids who have gotten ejected from Little League games before, but I have. Okay, I've got ejected from Little League games by umpires and by my coach at different times. I've got ejected from football games. Because I wouldn't control my temper, I'd get so competitive and I'd get mad and I'd go off. And I've beat up best friends before. I've learned this ever since I was a kid. I just had this anger and I wouldn't control it. And then I get saved. Guess what? That was still there. And I had to learn. The Holy Spirit had to teach me, when that thing starts rising up, you have to resist it. It's like God said to Cain. He says, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it. Yeah, you must master it. Sin was the spirit of anger that was about to manifest in murder. And God's like, this is the moment before you give in. Don't do it. He did it. He gave in. And we have that in our lives, whether it's fits of rage, jealousy, hatred, sexual immorality, witchcraft, idolatry, drugs, drunkenness, fill in the blank. Whatever, all of us have different cravings of the flesh that are strongholds. And what may be a stronghold like for you, it's hard to resist, maybe easy for somebody here to resist. But they have something that's hard for them that's easy for you. The point is this. There's the spirit, the way of the spirit, and there's the way of catering to the appetites of the flesh. And the spiritual man and woman, the one who becomes mature in their walk with Jesus, is the one who learns to deny the flesh. They quit being the slave to the flesh, and they learn to serve the Spirit and to cater to the Spirit of God. That's how you become mature. It really is. Envy, drunkenness, where am I at? Fits of rage, okay. Selfish ambition, how about that one? Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, listen to this. This is intense warning. I warn you, Paul says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you see that? Now he's talking to a church. He's talking to believers who have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. But this is the end. That's where the carnal nature boulevard leads to somewhere. And if you drive on carnal nature boulevard, if you don't break those habits of always giving into your flesh and you just live that life of sin, it will not inherit the kingdom of God. How tragic for somebody who's experienced the Holy Spirit to actually walk in the way of the flesh, and you're always going to be denying one and embracing another. And we talk about you have to deny the flesh and choose to cater to the Spirit. Do you know that when you choose to give in to the flesh, you're denying the Spirit? Because you can't do both at the same time. Isn't that interesting? You're actually rejecting the mercy and the grace of God, the Spirit who helps us walk in righteousness. And it's not like the first time you walk in the flesh, you know, oh, I just lost my salvation. But this is, if you live this lifestyle, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's that's what Paul says. I think he knows what he's talking about, because I think he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you choose to walk in the Holy Spirit interstate, this is what guarantee, this is always, it will come out of your life. Love will come out of your life. Joy. How many of you like to experience joy? Okay. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. I love this. You know what faithfulness is? It says, you will not get me to stop doing the task that the Lord has set before me for anything. Until the Lord himself tells me to stop doing this and do something else, I will do this faithfully until he returns. Even if I never see the fruit of it, even if it doesn't seem like it's working, doesn't matter. If I know this is God and it pleases him, I'm doing it, even if I do it alone. I'll be faithful to God. That's, man, we don't, A lot of times walking in the Spirit, you don't feel it sometimes. But you can walk in the Spirit without feeling his manifest presence. This is an important point. Because I don't think we do in this age, at least, and I'd like to find out I'm wrong. But I don't think we get to always feel that heightened manifest presence of the Spirit. I feel his presence every day, literally. But I know there are times when I don't feel him. Sometimes I feel anxious. Sometimes I feel angry at somebody or something. And I feel that fit of rage boiling inside. And I don't feel peace. I don't at all. But I deny myself. I say, no, I'm not going to give expression to that unholy desire. That's not God. Lord, I love you. Help me. I'm walking in the Spirit even though I feel that inferno of the flesh boiling within me. But I'm walking in the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? But here's the deal. If I'll keep walking in the way of the Spirit and deny the flesh, what ends up happening is the fire gets put out and peace begins to reign in my heart. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You walk in the way of the Spirit. Even when it doesn't seem like it's working, you do what pleases the Lord. You do what you know is right according to the scriptures, and you will eventually, joy will pop up in your heart. The fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I love that fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness and self-control. Self-control is a very important fruit of the Spirit. You know what self-control, you know why that's so important? That's how you do what I just described. When inside you feel angry and you want to vent it out on this person, you know what Proverbs says? A fool gives full vent to his anger. That's what the world says, right? Just let it go. You'll feel better afterward. Do you? You don't feel better. That person feels angry. You feel more angry when you give expression to it. You don't feel peace. You feel worse is what you feel like, right? So when I'm feeling that way, but I choose to do what's right and walk in the way of the Spirit, you know what that is? That's actually self-control. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Do you know how important it is to walking in the Spirit and dying to self are the same thing? You don't have a magic, at least in my experience, I haven't had one magic moment where I died to self permanently. I would love that. I would sign that contract now, right now. The Holy Spirit said, Jeff, you're never going to have an opportunity to indulge your flesh again, but you'll always walk in the Spirit. If you just sign this line, you'll die to self permanently forever, and you'll never have to wrestle with another decision again. I'd be like, tell me where to sign. I'm in. But you know what Paul said? I die daily. I die daily. Every day, Paul's like, I have a choice to make today. I can do what pleases the Spirit, or I can do what my flesh feels like doing. I'm dying to what my flesh feels like doing, and I'm doing what pleases the Spirit. Sometimes it feels good. Sometimes it doesn't feel good, but it always ends up feeling great. Right? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's a keep in step. Do you see the process? This is a way of living. This is every day. You know, I don't want to tell the Holy... It would be pathetic to me if you came up to me, Jeff, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I said, 1993, I spoke in tongues. Not what the Holy Spirit's asking for. He's like, what about today? Are you shining today? Are you different than your neighbor? who lives the exact same way, catering to their carnal appetites, just like you do. You say you follow Jesus, they do. They don't say that. But in practicality, you pretty much live the same way. You spend your money the same way. You spend your time the same way. You watch the same television shows at night in different houses. You play video games just as much as the other, just in different houses. You give in to gluttony just as much as they do. You slander those who oppose you that you don't like just the same they do. You just give in to the same carnal appetites. He's like, you are called not to be like that. That's the old way. There's a new way. Don't you know you have the Holy Spirit in you? You, sin shall no longer be your master, Romans 6 says. Romans 8 says, when we walk by the new way of the Spirit. It's a process. You know, it's no, there's no, it's like condemnation, but it's, there is a responsibility to whom much is given, much is required. He expects us to learn to walk in the Spirit, to devote ourselves to this, the art of walking in the Spirit. This is our life quest. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Here, listen to this. A man reaps what he sows. Wow. Listen. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap what? Yeah, destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit reaps what? Eternal life. It's good. I'm just going to give you a definition. I've already said it, but I just want to give it to you. What is, when we talk about walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit, I'm going to give you a definition. What does it mean to walk according to the flesh? To walk according to the flesh is a life that is dominated by carnal appetites, desires, cravings, impulses, whatever word you want to use. I actually got that straight from Romans 8. Examples of carnal appetites, you know, sex, food, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, incessant craving for honor and approval from others. That's the flesh. The need to be entertained or mentally occupied to alleviate inner boredom. It's the flesh. That's why we indulge ourselves in entertainment all the time, because we're bored on the inside. You know how you cure inner boredom? Talk to the Holy Spirit who's in you. Actually engage him in conversation. Fellowship with the Spirit. I know inner boredom. I'm well acquainted what it's like to just feel that I'm always having... It's actually... I have these like indicator switches, so to speak. Little things that I can see in my life that's indicator to how I'm doing it. Am I in the Spirit or not? And when I find myself that I'm always having to be listening to something, or I'm always having to be watching something, or I'm bored, it's a red flag to me, like, Jeff, you need to engage the Holy Spirit in conversation more. You're relying on carnal things to entertain you, but you were created to be entertained by the beautiful God who's within you all the time. It's not that it's wrong to watch a television show, or you guys, I hope you know this, but it's what's your life dominated by. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's not wrong to enjoy good food, but it's wrong that your life is dominated by you wake up in the morning, like, what can I do today to get the thing I'm craving? You know, and every day is just dominated by this incessant craving. I've got to have this sweets, or I've got to have this cigarette, or I've got to have this drink. And it could be alcohol or Coca-Cola. You guys with me? I mean, if it's a craving of the flesh that dominates your life, I need ice cream. I'm going to do whatever it takes right now. I'm going to go get the ice cream. It's okay to enjoy stuff, but not at the expense of your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's the key. If I'm indulging these carnal, fleshly, I'm not talking about the sinful ones. I'm talking about the ones that, you know, are neutral. If I'm in living my life dominated by that, indulging that, it affects my fellowship with the Spirit. It really does. You want to know the truth? I think I wrote this actually in my book. I think one of the best ways to be discipled is to be discipled by the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. He's the sanctifier. But practicing the presence of God is one of the best ways to become sanctified. What I mean is living, paying attention to how the Holy Spirit feels about what you're doing right now. Living in a conversation with Him. It's one of the best ways to figure out what He likes and what's helping you and what's not helping you. I told you about my conversation with my friend. That was the Holy Spirit training me. I learned that conversation like that doesn't make Him happy. It's unholy, so I better cut it out of my life if I want to enjoy fellowship with Him. Does that make sense? Okay. I'll give you this. I'm not going to get to Romans 8, although it's great and you should read it. It's amazing, especially in the Amplified. It's like, mwah, glorious. There's a couple things I want to say, though. One, the spirit and the flesh are at war with each other, and you are the one who determines the winner. It's the freedom of choice. It's how we express our love to God. Because we all say, I love you, Lord. I hunger for you. I want you more than anything. Yeah, and then what that looks like in real life, that's good to say that. But what that looks like is if you're finding that you're being controlled by some carnal desire that's taking you off Holy Spirit interstate, I'm going to deny that because I love you more, Lord. I want you more. Do I want that? Honestly, yes. What, I'll tell you, for me, there's several things for, there's a whole bunch of things for me. But some of the things for me that aren't even sinful in and of themselves is, eating sweets. I find that a key for me, an indicator for me. I can often tell how I'm doing in my spiritual life by how I'm doing at managing my physical appetites. I don't mean this in a legalistic way. I'm not saved because of my works. I'm saved. I already have the Holy Spirit. I can choose to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. One leads to life, one leads to death. Okay? But I find that I express my love to God when I say, oh, you know, I'd love to eat tons of this junk today. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to restrain myself because I just want to live in the Spirit. So one practical thing that's helped me is, and I'm not telling you to do this for you, but I'm just saying counting calories for me. You know, I know how many I need to be healthy, regular intake of calories. I have an app on my phone. And when I do that, it forces me to be self-controlled in my eating. And it actually affects my spirit. It really, my fellowship with the Spirit. It does. And for you, that may not be a thing for you, but for me, it is. And I know that. And I'm not going to complain about it because I love you more, Lord. I actually like myself better when I'm restraining my carnal appetites and indulging in the Holy Spirit. That's really what we're talking about. It's not, I'm restraining myself from eating. You only have so much room, right? You know, you only have so much room in your stomach. And if you stuff yourself with pie, okay, you're not going to have room for the healthy stuff that actually benefits your physical health. True? Yeah, I'm stuffed. I can't eat the healthy thing because I have the pie. And you know what's also true? I know this from experience. The more you eat unhealthy things, the more you crave it. And the more you eat healthy stuff, the more you crave it, and your craving for tons of sugar actually diminishes. I don't know, how many of you experienced on a fast? You go on like a 1 month sweets fast. And it's like things, you know, you could drink down a 32-ounce Coca-Cola, no problem. But by the end of that month, and you try to do that again, and you drink about half of it, and you're like, oh, this is so sweet, it's so syrupy, and you just notice it. You know what I mean? And I start craving water, like healthy things for my body. That's true in the physical. Scientists will tell you that. It's the same way in the spirit. You know, if you're like, man, I'm just so bored. I mean, how can I not watch this hours of television tonight? What am I going to do if I don't play video games? If I don't look at Facebook for an hour today, what am I going to do with that time? It's like I'm going to be bored. It's like my default is to check my Facebook or check my email. And it's like, dude, you checked it 3 minutes ago. There's no new messages. It's, you know, it's like, it's okay. You know, it'd be fine without you. Just let it go, you know, let it go. Be free. But it's like when you starve yourself of those carnal things, the pull actually gets weaker. You don't even need it anymore. And you fill in this, it creates space in your life. And you learn to find edifying things to fill that space. So it's not just that you pray and read your Bible. For sure, that's it. But, you know, even things like, for me, like going on a bike ride or a walk and just enjoying nature is edifying to me. Versus, okay. I illustrate this by the spirit puppy versus the flesh puppy. Okay? If I had two puppies right here, little cute puppies, one is named Spirit, one is named Flesh. Flesh is a black puppy. We'll just say that. Spirit's white. Now, let's say that they're at war with each other and they're going to fight to the death. Okay? I can determine the winner by whichever one I feed. If I'm feeding flesh puppy all the time, it's gonna grow strong and healthy, and I'm depriving spirit of food because I'm giving its food, my attention, to the flesh puppy. The flesh puppy goes strong, this spirit puppy stays weak and anemic. And then they fight, who's gonna win? Flesh puppy. Well, let's say I don't want flesh puppy to win because I like spirit puppy. What I do is I starve flesh puppy and I give all my attention to spirit puppy. I feed spirit puppy. It becomes strong. And even though at first it may seem like it's still a battle, but spirit wins. Eventually spirit gets stronger and stronger. Flesh gets weaker and weaker. And spirit dominates. And that is a person who is a spiritual man or woman. You know what Paul wrote to the Corinthians? He's writing to them and he's like, you guys are arguing. There's jealousies and factions among you. You know what he says? He says, I can't address you as spiritual. I have to address you as carnal people. He says, because where there's envy and factions and jealousy and divisions among you, are you not carnal? Now, he just got done praising them for their spiritual gifts. You're enriched with every spiritual gift, but you're carnal. You're carnal because you're operating in the way of the flesh. What are you talking about? Like, I'm for Paul and I'm for Apollos. He's like, are you kidding me? Let's mature. Let's walk in love and unity in the way of the Spirit. They're all from God. You know what I mean? And he's like, you're carnal. You need to grow up. He writes that. The author of Hebrews writes that. He's like, you should be teachers by now. You should be teachers by now. But you're not even ready for meat yet because you're still on milk. I have to go over the elementary truths of the Christian faith, all the repentance and all these faith in God, all these kind of things over and over again because you're not putting into practice the things that you're learning walking in the way of the Spirit. Okay, I'm gonna have Melissa come up to the keyboard. We're gonna practice this, okay? Fellowshipping with the Spirit. I just want to read one verse from Romans 8. To me, it's such a key. Verse 5, Romans 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, listen to this, have set their minds on and pursue those things that gratify the flesh. That's how do I walk in the flesh? You set your mind on the things of the flesh. I want to say this too. This is a point I wanted to make too. Entertainment choices affect your fellowship with the Spirit. I do not let my children listen to anything other than Christian music. I won't. And I highly, as a somebody who loves you, a spiritual father in the house, I would strongly recommend to you not to listen to anything other than Christian music. Because at best, it always caters to the flesh. Always. I told you earlier I was listening to my demonic rock music. Within a few months, I mean, it didn't take him long. Within a few months, I just figured this out. Just me and the Holy Spirit. He helped me. I realized, I'm like, when I, all of a sudden I was listening to that song one day, and there's this line in it. It's a song by Alice in Chains, and there was this long line in it that said, Jesus Christ, deny your maker. And I was just singing along, rocking with it, and then I sang those words, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit illuminated my mind to what I was singing. Didn't even realize what I was saying. I thought, what? What did that just say? What did I just say? Deny my maker, Jesus? Are you kidding? This is garbage. This is demonic. Demons are using this to brainwash me and to get me to say things that I would never say if I weren't listening to this. Satan knows how to use music to get us to do things that we would never do. Music has power. So I just stopped listening to it. And can I tell you something? I don't miss it. I've never missed it one day in my life ever since. Ever. I don't walk with a limp because I can't listen to a secular song. Instead, when I want to hear a song, what am I going to do? Well, since secular is not an option, I listen to songs from the Lord. And you know what happens? My spirit gets edified and built up. And so I highly, highly recommend that you only listen to Christian music. Why? Because you are what you eat. Yeah? You feed your mind, and what you feed your mind is going to come out in your attitudes and in your decisions and your actions and your words, believe it or not. Yeah? It really will. And so, anyway, I highly recommend you take that counsel. And you could say not only with music, but what I watch, movies I watch, television shows, even news shows and news commentators that you listen to. Discern the spirit that they're of. This is walking in the spirit today. Practical, practical counsel. Discern the spirit. Do you know that I will not listen to a lot of political news commentary? You know why? Because even if oftentimes the spirit thereof is just, it's carnal. They're just slandering the other side. Making them like, they're so stupid. They're this. That's not the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm talking about? Even if I agree with most of their positions, the spirit that they're talking in, it's of the world. And I find that when I listen to it, it stirs up those unholy attitudes in me, and I'm actually disqualify myself from the Holy Spirit using me to bring solution to the situation, because I'm of the wrong spirit. I can't be used. I'm no good when I'm just myself. But when I'm in the Holy Spirit, I'm very good. You know, one of the greatest things that's happened to me this election is I just turned off the news. I don't even follow it. I'm not telling you what to do with that. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to point out to you is so many of these things that we do that are just life habits, learn to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. How does this make you feel when I listen to this? What emotions and attitudes get stirred up in me when I listen to this song or when I watch this or listen to this person, this commentator? Are they anger? I hate these people. Red flag. That's not the Holy Spirit. Hatred was on the list of the sinful nature. Right? Yeah? Well, then don't listen to it if it stirs that up in you. If it stirs up lust in you, don't listen to it. If it stirs up fear in you, don't listen to it. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's feeding your flesh. Does that make sense? Listen to that which edifies. This is how you grow in discernment. You know, we pray for the gift of discernment. You know how I've grown in the gift of discernment? I haven't even tried to for many years, but I did without knowing it. Just by paying attention to the Holy Spirit. And that which I found pleased him, I gave myself to it. That which I felt grieved him, I pushed it away and had nothing to do with it. And I actually learned how to discern the difference between good and evil, the common and the uncommon. Just by that one thing, paying attention to the Holy Spirit. How is it affecting you, Holy Spirit, by when I listen to this? How is it affecting me? I mean, I say that I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But this is really, honestly, I'm just giving you, this is what I would tell my own kids. This is how you walk in the Spirit. Amen. All right, so I think I've said everything I want to say. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. That's what I want to say from verse 5. I'm done. So why don't we stand? We're going to...